It has been almost a year since Russia invaded Ukraine. The West responded with sanctions on Moscow, on its energy and financial sectors. Our next guest says the sanctions are having a profound effect on the Russian economy. Vladimir Vilov is a former deputy minister of energy in Russia. He is a member of the opposition, and he's left Russia. He joins us from Lithuania. Mr. Vilov, hello.
Hello, great to be with you.
When the sanctions began, there was hope that they would pressure Moscow, maybe lead to an end of the war, a pullout from Russian troops. That has not happened. So are the sanctions really working?
I think there was a lot of unnecessarily elevated expectations about immediate effect of sanctions when the war began. Some of those were heated up by Western politicians and political leaders who were, you know, generously giving speeches now and then saying that such sanctions will destroy Russian economies. I think these elevated expectations were wrong, because Russia did have some accumulated reserves, safety margins. A lot of stuff to resist sanctions have been done since 2014, since the first round of major sanctions after the annexation of Crimea and parts of Donbass. Russia has also been somehow turning to Asian countries, China, India, Turkey, to mitigate the sanctions effect. But despite the fact that it hasn't collapsed, Russian economy is having a lot of difficulties.
I mean, you argue that the official data coming out of Russia understates the challenge, say, with unemployment, et cetera, perhaps understates inflation, which could be around 16%. How is this faltering economy affecting the daily lives of people in Russia?
Well, there's been so much buildup on television that we are resilient, and propaganda wasted no time actually in mobilizing Russians that we can stand the hardships and so on. So many people would say now that we are withstanding the sanctions okay because, and here's the important part, the food is still in stores. To me, I don't think that this is actually a best criteria. If you look at, this is one important factor, but as a matter of fact, the total inflation over the past 2 years, it was actually quite high even before the war, but then it broke to highs that we haven't seen since 1990s. And I think it would be fair to say that on average, Russians in real terms are about 20-25% poorer than they were in 2013 before the annexation of Crimea and before Putin started this first wave of aggression against Ukraine 9 years ago.
Does this economic pain that you're describing change anything with the Russian military? It is being reported Moscow is preparing for potentially a large offensive coming.
Yes, it does influence the situation significantly. What you actually can see on the battlefield today is that Russia does not have the capacity to launch a full-scale offensive across the front line, as we saw a year ago. What they're doing right now are only limited offensives with a high concentration of resources, but the resources are still limited.
You worked in the Russian government under Putin in the early 2000s, but later joined the opposition. What did you learn about Vladimir Putin and how he operates by kind of being in his circle?
Well, how long is your program? I mean, to make the long story short, Putin was very different from any other leaders who came before him, because he was like behaving like an organized crime group from day one. He brought a lot of people, his former close affiliates, without any professional background, and actually put them into vital positions in, you know, top summit of political power in Russian corporate world and so on. So this really looked like a very focused power grab. Putin since then converted the political economic power that he grabbed to actually project his influence globally, trying to redraw borders and change the global rule-based order. So this is why I think early monitoring of power grabs in fragile democracies, particularly nuclear-armed, is very important.
Vladimir Vilov is the former deputy minister of energy in Russia, and he spoke to us from Vilnius in Lithuania. Mr. Vilov, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you. Pleasure being with you.